Wonderful. That is from C2J, which means classical to jazz, and it's by my special guest and a favourite of ours here at Jazz FM, Olivia Trummer, who joins me here on The Blueprint, deep in the night here. Welcome, Olivia.
Hello.
Welcome back.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you very much.
You're, as I said, you're one of our favourites. We happened across you. You're at least 6 albums deep now into your career for such a young virtuoso artist. That's quite some output. You love to work, don't you? You really do.
Yeah, the funny thing is that whenever I'm at the piano, it never feels like work to me. So, the work takes place somewhere else, maybe when I'm at the computer. But it's really pure pleasure for me. It's playing when I'm making music.
And this latest album's Classical to Jazz, it says Classical to Jazz 1, which sort of suggests there's more on the way. Is there more on the way?
Actually, it seemed like a wonderful idea to call it that.
Yeah.
Because after hearing the album, there is a classical festival in Germany, in Halle, the Händel Festival, that commissioned a work after hearing my album that I would do the same with Händel's music. So I think Classical to Jazz 2 is on the way, in a way.
Yes, great. Well, I mean, you've got roots in classical music, of course, growing up in a musical family. But obviously, as a jazz musician, there was something in you wanted to break free of convention and classical music, I imagine. Tell me about how your relationship with classical music and jazz came together.
Well, actually, it didn't come together, but it was the same source. It was I picked up classical piano when I was 4, learning classical music by ear with my mother. And at the same time, I enjoyed, as I said, it was just my favorite toy to play on the grand piano of my parents. And I was just improvising without ever having heard of jazz or whatever genre or category you would put music in. But I was just enjoying to explore myself and how I could express myself at the piano. So jazz and classical music never really was separated from each other. And in fact, it has not been separated in Baroque times either, because everybody was improvising and composing. And that was the real musical virtuoso. That was what he or she was about. And I think it's a very natural mindset to not think of the two as two different categories.
So, there is this sort of perception that classical music is very rigid and organized, and you follow the rules and you stay within your boundaries. But maybe that's just the perception of someone in an orchestra reading sheet music. But then you talk to great jazz musicians and you find out that actually a lot of them really listen deeply to classical music, and that some of the great composers were, as you say, great improvisers as well. Who to you is one of the greatest improvisers in classical music?
In classical music? I guess that Johann Sebastian Bach was probably one of the first that I could list now. I don't know. All the classical composers were great improvisers. I mean, there are stories of them competing against each other, and improvisation being one of the necessary talents. I don't know. I mean, what makes a classical musician nowadays? And I think some improvisation would do them good.
Yes, well, your latest album, C2J, it does feature the music of Scarlatti, Bach and Mozart, and you've teamed up with the Swiss vibes man Jean-Louis Trebu. It's a wonderful duo album. You've obviously got great empathy and are musical soulmates. Tell me about your relationship with Jean.
Well, Jean-Louis and I met in Berlin when we were playing at the same stage for two different concert halves, and we immediately found a connection when I was listening to him and he was listening to me. We stayed in touch then, and I was just waiting for the right moment to start a meaningful collaboration, since he's living nearby Geneva and I'm in Berlin. So when I got offered a gig from a classical festival in the south of Germany, the Ludwigsburg Festival, I basically got a carte blanche. I could do whatever I wanted to, and I...
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone says, just do what you want to do.
Wonderful. Yeah, here you have this wonderful Baroque concert hall. Do something with it. And of course, that paved the way for the duo to start rehearsing and have a date in the future to aim for preparing our program. And I actually had written the Bach arrangements before for my trio, but it didn't sit right with me yet. And in my mind, it immediately made sense to try out those arrangements with Jean-Loup, because he is one of the rare musicians who can do both, who is capable of learning a long piece of music, like, for example, one of the Bach movements, of which there are 7, is 8 pages long, or 9, or 10, or 11. So it's really a lot of music to digest and then play by heart, basically, but also to improvise. And sometimes it has odd meters. It's harmonically challenging. So you really have to be very good at both improvisation and virtuosic part of it.
Let's play something else from this wonderful new album, your 6th album. Yeah, your 6th album. It's classical to jazz. This is Olivia Trummer with Jean-Loup Trebut and Mozart Lichtheiten. I knew I'd get it wrong. Mozart Lichtheiten Suite, Part 3.
Thank you.
beautiful improvisations on Mozart. We've had Scarlatti's music before that, and with some Bach coming up as well, talking with Olivia Trummer, who has made a wonderful new duo album with vibes man Jean-Louis Trebu. It's called C2J, Classical to Jazz 1. It does exactly what it says on the tin. Olivia is here with me on The Blueprint, and thank you for coming by, Olivia. I know you've done a lot of work recently in Germany, touring around and educating people as well. I was interested in, you know, when I go to Germany, I sometimes go there on a sort of semi-business thing, which you've been to, called Jazz Ahead. Mm-hmm. Which I think really lives for 4 o'clock when we just drink beer, to be honest. German audiences, and Germany in particular, seems to be a country that really celebrates this music. I mean, they put on a lot of concerts. They welcome international artists. How do you find it as a German in Germany playing this music from the support point of every point of view?
Well, one thing that I'm amazed with is the infrastructure of jazz clubs in Germany, because it seems that every small town has their own jazz club, and it's people who volunteer doing the work, who keep it alive and who bring the music to the people. For example, they would volunteer behind the bar at the night of the concert, or selling tickets in their free time. So I love that enthusiasm for the music, and in combination with being organized enough to actually present it in an attractive way to find an audience for the music, because it's so diverse. And why shouldn't every small village have their own jazz club? Because there's so much.
Sounds like
beautiful
utopia.
Music. Yeah. Oh yeah, in Tokyo. Yeah. So that's something that really impresses me with the German jazz support. And I'm not sure if you would find the same infrastructure in other countries. I don't know. You could tell me.
Well, not exactly the same here. There's Arts Council. There's audiences can't get enough, it seems, mostly. There's Arts Council funding, but there are organisations in Germany that support this as well, aren't they? That make sure it's a cultural thing. They almost see it as a nourishment for the people, you know? And that's a great thing, isn't it? It's lost on some politicians who seem to be stuck in the corporate world. You know, they don't quite get the way that music affects the people in a good way.
Yeah, I think it's a nice zone of nurturing the soul. I think that's taken quite seriously in a way, and it makes people feel less like a consumer, but more like an appreciator.
Yeah.
And I think there's a big difference in that you actually have an active role in making music take place, or in enabling music to take place and be presented. So I really love German audiences, I must say, because they're really they're happy with just the music. They don't need necessarily a big meal around that, and so music is really appreciated.
Yeah, I have a particular thing about jazz being a soundtrack to dining. I can't take that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have a lovely relationship with New York City. I noticed looking at your latest news, you've been back there rekindling your thing with New York. In fact, your last album was recorded in New York, wasn't it?
Yes.
Fly Now. What did you get up to when you were there, and how did you enjoy that, being back in the Big Apple?
Yeah, I haven't been back to the Big Apple for 2 years, so really a long, long time. It was due to me playing and presenting the album on this side of the ocean. I love New York for its energy and for its dedication to whatever you professionalize in and whatever you really identify with. Everybody's giving 150% of what they can do, which is, on the other side, it's almost a bit scary, because everybody becomes driven by what they do. And when I was back there after the 2 years, mostly being in Berlin and Europe, I realized how driven people have to be, and how they don't really have much of a life beyond their profession. And that's probably something that made me appreciate Berlin even more, because in Berlin you have time for muse.
Yes.
If you know what I mean, you have time for contemplative moments.
So important.
Yeah, so important. And they, it's not that you don't work. In a way, you do, by being contemplative. contemplative, but yeah, there's more space for, yeah, I don't know, for the soul.
Yeah,
I don't know how to put it. It's both great. I love New York for what it is, but I noticed that Berlin, yeah, has a very healthy mindset.
Get into New York, do it hard, leave, and be contemplative in Berlin. That sounds like a good formula.
Yeah.
Although you're from Stuttgart, but you're in Berlin these days. I'm coming to Berlin in April.
Fantastic.
For a little trip. So where are you taking me? Where are we going?
Oh, I know a nice bar.
Oh, cool. It's yeah. Very much a creative hub, though, isn't it? It's free and wonderful and artistic.
Yeah, I think you would find people of all mindsets mingling quite a lot and accepting their presence in the same areas, and it's a nice colorful blend of people in Berlin. And as I said, I think there's a very healthy mindset in the air that is not only focusing on making profits, you know, but they somehow look for alternative ways of living together and keeping it colorful and not.
I'm wondering if you can tell me anything about the phenomenon in Berlin of wash bears. They call them Waschbär. I don't know if you know about this. There's basically a thing called the wash bear in Berlin, and this is about raccoons that got imported from America in just before World War II. And they got out and they escaped, and apparently they've been breeding. They're all over Berlin, and you see them, American raccoons. Hey, you've never seen them?
No, I've never seen them. I thought you were talking about some hipsters walking around looking a little bit like wash bears.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that one a little bit more then, definitely. Well, the good news is you should be back in the UK for some gigs or on tour as well, coming up in March, right?
Exactly. That's something I look forward to very much, to actually see a little bit more of the beautiful country. And go in and out of London and also play in Liverpool and Abergavenny, but also three concerts in London, around London, I would put it, in Windsor and Clapham and Chelsea.
Clapham, I like that.
Clapham.
Clapham, yeah. Great stuff. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you again, Olivia. Olivia Trummer here on The Blueprint. The latest album is Classical to Jazz 1C2J1 with Jean-Louis Trebu. And we're going to play something from, as promised, Bach, Gigue Chic.
Exactly.
Tell me more.
Gigue Chic. Well, I think that's a good track to play because it shows how I take it. I start playing classical original music from Johann Sebastian Bach, and then I take it into improvisation, and that's when Jean-Louis enters. I think it... yeah, it shows what the album is about quite well. And Gigue Chic makes clear that it's not the original Chic, but people can expect to be surprised.
Let's take a listen.